Welcome to the Wannabe Hunting Podcast. I'm your host, Amos Medford, the Wannabe Hunter. Thanks so much for taking some time to listen today. We have an awesome guest today. We're glad to be joined by Mr. Nathan Killen. Nathan has a vast array of knowledge when it comes to hunting, and it was just very gracious of him to spend some time talking hunting with me and just giving me some insight. And you're going to enjoy this one. It's going to be fun to hear him. Nathan has been, for years now, only using traditional archery equipment for his hunting, and he's still harvesting some awesome deer up in the mountains of Virginia. So you're going to enjoy hearing what he has to say about hunting, and it's going to be a fun one. We appreciate everyone hanging in there with us and just listening each week, and thanks so much to those who've left reviews and ratings on iTunes. We really appreciate that. Helps a ton. Thanks for following along on Instagram. It's just been great over there to meet a bunch of people and get to know some folks. We appreciate everyone coming on and learning with us as we talk to some successful hunters. We've been seeing some of the guys that we've had on just have a lot of success already this season, so it's been great. And thanks so much for joining in today. Enjoy this episode with Nathan Killen. Thanks so much for listening, y'all. This is Amos here. Thanks again for taking the time to listen to our newest episode with Nathan Killen today. And hope everybody has a good day and good week. And as a lot of folks have hunting season open or opening soon, just want to wish everyone good luck and hope everyone has good success getting some meat in the freezer and killing good bucks and just enjoying time out in the woods and stay safe and just enjoy. So thanks again for listening today. A big thanks to Nathan for coming on. I really appreciate him taking the time and jumping on with us. It was just an enjoyable talk, and look forward to maybe talking to him in the future. Just getting more in depth, but it was great to have him on. We appreciate him, and we just appreciate everyone else for listening. Thanks for hanging in with us and joining along with us. Check us out on Instagram if you don't follow there already. If you're on Instagram, just take a quick look at our link tree in the bio, and you'll see some cool companies that I enjoy and recommend. And we just thank you so much for all the support you've given us. Hope you'll have a good day. As always, remember to honor God, work hard, and keep hunting. We'll get started. I'll just see if you can give us an idea how you got into hunting and kind of what your background is with hunting.
Well, back, I started whenever I was actually 9 years old, whenever I killed my first deer. So that would have been 82. So that's how long I've been deer hunting. And my dad, me and him really started deer hunting pretty close to the same time. He started a couple years before I did, but that's basically how we got our start. We had a friend, his name was Eugene Belcher, and my grandfather used to work with this guy, and he told Mr. Eugene Belcher that his son was wanting to get into deer hunting and wanted to know if he'd take him. And of course he did. And he has been a lifelong friend ever since. So that's pretty much where we got started, and definitely been a passion ever since. So I'm thankful that the good Lord sent old Eugene our way. So
that's awesome. And that's up there in Virginia where you are? Same area?
Yes. Yes, sir. Yeah. Actually, first place I ever started hunting was Wolf Creek Mountain in Giles County. It's right here in the southwestern part of Virginia. So
that's awesome. I don't know a whole lot about the county's layout and everything in Virginia, but my brother lives in Lynchburg.
So okay.
I've been up through a few times coming up from the kind of the southwest part there, cutting up to Lynchburg.
Okay, so you probably came up 81 through Bristol or Maybe you've came up 77 from North Carolina direction.
Yes, sir, probably. We came right through Danville.
Okay.
I think is how it cuts up, but yeah, that's pretty awesome. Now, I know you hunt with the traditional bow or whatever. Now, when y'all started, is that what Mr. Belcher used, or were y'all using guns or whatever, or?
No, firearms and compound bows back whenever I first started. But now, Eugene, he had been hunting for a long time, so he had hunted with the recurve, a long time before we ever met him, probably before I was ever born, truth be known. But no, I got interested in traditional archery and probably. I think I started around 92-ish, somewhere right through there, and Alan Altizer was to blame for that. He used to make hunting videos. Matter of fact, him and Bob McGuire were some of the first to start making hunting videos. I think maybe the Wentzels may have been the very first, but anyway, I just remember watching him with a Black Widow recurve shooting deer on his hunting videos. So that's where that fire got sparked from. And I shot both recurve and long or recurve and compound bow for several years. I would switch back and forth between the two because I back then we didn't have as good a instruction on how to shoot a recurve or a long bow like you do nowadays. And so I really didn't have the confidence then that I have now, and but I've been hunting with a recurve and a longbow for probably going on 10 years now. Just that I've not hunted with compound since then. So.
Wow, that's awesome. I'm probably gonna use a compound for the first time this year, so I'm
Okay.
just getting into it. Yeah,
Awesome.
but it's pretty cool, just shooting the bow, even being compound, like it's a different experience for sure.
It is, and it's very addictive. And I don't know how experienced you are just gun hunting, but once you make the tradi or the transition, from being a rifle hunter only and start bow hunting some, that will make you a better hunter in itself because you're looking at stuff more in a microscopic sense versus just general deer sign and where they're using and stuff. So that you've definitely got a lot more intimate relationship with the woods, whenever you start bow hunting. So it's just a much better.
Yeah, I mean the bows are pretty amazing these days, but you still got to get a lot closer.
That's exactly right.
Yes, sir. But I'm a relatively new hunter overall, but yeah, I've primarily used a gun up to this point. So, yep, I'm excited to see what happens.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. But kind of going back to where when you started. I believe you said you were about 9 years old.
Yes, sir. Yep. Yeah, I killed my first deer. Actually, the very first time my dad set me down in the woods to hunt by myself,
Wow.
and he was within sight of me, but he didn't hunt with me, and yeah, it was a cool experience. I actually missed the deer, which was a button buck, on my first shot. I was using a 16 gauge shotgun that we had borrowed from a friend. And but anyway, I think my dad had a punkin ball loaded in it for the first shot and gave me a handful of buckshot for the next one. But yeah, I made that or shot that first time, and the deer never went anywhere. It just stood there. So I reloaded right quick and shot a second time, and killed it then. So.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. And he just sat you down at the bottom of a tree, kind of deal.
Yeah, I remember it was kind of up on a little ridge that went along the side of a flat, and So I had just a little bit of elevation. I was probably sitting, beside of a rock or something other. I don't really remember. It's been so long ago, but I remember my dad. He was kind of on the other side of the flat. He was probably 100 to 150 yards away, so he could definitely see me. Keep an eye on me.
Right. And you said that was what mountain?
Creek Mountain in Giles County, Virginia.
That's right. And is that somewhere you still hunt or have been since then?
No, we hunted there for probably 10 years or so after that, and I've not been back since. That's actually something that I've been wanting to do, is kind of go back and reminisce and look for some of our old tree stands that we used to build up there. And because, back in those days we didn't have portable tree stands other than the ones that my dad built me, and we would just go in the woods and saw down trees, 2 to 3 inches in diameter, and build tree stands up in trees. So that's pretty much everybody done that kind of stuff back then.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I mean,
good.
I'm all for the safety and everything, but these days, but
Yeah, we
that's
didn't
pretty
have
neat
any
to just go
safety
out there. Right. Yeah, that's pretty neat to just go out there, cut down some smaller trees and make a stand out of it.
Yep. Yeah,
That's awesome.
that was way before mobile hunting.
Yeah, for sure. No saddles.
No saddles.
That's awesome. So when you were growing up and all, did y'all hunt like turkeys and stuff, stuff other than deer, or was it mainly deer the whole time?
It was mainly deer, but yeah, we turkey hunted a little bit, and hunted small game a little bit, but deer is really what stole my heart. I've just been pretty much infatuated with them ever since, and still am,
Right.
They're just a beautiful animal, and I don't know, it's just pretty much what my life has j basically revolved around, and I hate to say that, but yeah, that's about all I've thought about ever since, so.
Yeah, it's crazy how it can, just get your attention, I guess.
Yeah,
I
which I
know.
believe
Oh, go ahead.
I believe that the good Lord actually gives us those passions to, but we're supposed to use our passions to uplift Him,
Right.
and sometimes we get caught up in being selfish and stuff like that, and it's all about us. So we just got to remember the proper order of it.
Right, exactly. He does want us to do it and enjoy it, everything else, but it's got to take the proper place. And
That's exactly right. Yeah.
yep, absolutely. I was just gonna say, I was gonna ask if you'd ever hunted anything different with a traditional bow other than deer.
No, just deer,
Honest.
but my good buddy Ethan Roderick has invited me to go elk hunting next year. So
Wow.
I have never hunted elk, and that is, I'm very excited about that hunting trip. So definitely looking forward to that.
That'll be awesome. I'm
Yes.
sure.
Yeah. See some different country, and definitely different animals. So.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Now, that's kind of a whole different deal because it's elk, obviously. But, when it comes to hunting deer, how do your tactics change whether you're in the mountains there in Virginia or if you ever go? I think I've heard you say on different podcasts that you have been out of state sometimes or hunted some different, some non-mountain situations, I guess you'd say. How different or the same are your plan of attack?
Well, actually, it doesn't change at all. You're
Okay.
that no matter flat the topography is or anything like that, you're still looking for variations in terrain that will dictate deer movement, and you're still looking for edge habitat, that deer will also like to move along. So you're looking for the basically the exact same things. It's just there's not going they may not be as drastic of a difference, or terrain changes may not be as evident in gentler, gentle terrain versus, more aggressive terrain. So, but it's all relatively exactly the same.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I'm in Florida, so it's very flat.
Oh yeah.
But I
Yeah,
have some.
I'd imagine even, in areas like where you live at, just a yeah, 1 or 2 foot variation or change in elevation, would basically do the same thing, that, several hundred feet around here could do.
Yeah, probably true. I was gonna say, I know I've seen more movement, like where it switches from like pine to hardwood, I guess
Oh,
you'd say. Like I
yeah.
can definitely tell because I've heard people talk about edges and transitions and stuff.
Right.
And I've actually gotten to see enough movement, I guess you'd say, that in the past couple of years that it would verify that for sure.
Yep. Yeah, deer definitely. Yeah, they are that they love feathered edge type habitat, and so that's the type of areas that I like to hunt too, because you got a transition from thick cover to more open cover, and obviously, most of the time they bed in the thick cover and then transition into the more open type places to feed and stuff for the most part.
Right. And then when you're looking for like what everybody calls sign in the woods, do you like to see mostly like would you get more excited to see a trail or more excited to find a rub or a scrape or I mean all of the above?
Definitely all of the above, but I definitely like to see oversized rubs and well-used scrapes. Obviously that's the kind of sign that gets me most excited, but I consider it all, because all of it's part of the puzzle that you're trying to put together.
Yeah, for sure. Do you ever set up like a mock scrape type situation or?
I do, and I have more so over the past few years, actually, than ever before. But it's not to hunt over. It's more for to place my trail cameras over, for inventory and historical data and whatnot. So,
Right. Gotcha. Yeah, do you use like cell cameras or?
yes, yeah, where I can here in the mountains, they're not as useful as they would in some other places, but I do get cell service. I run three of them, and they're definitely really handy, especially for places that take a considerable amount of time to get back into. So if you got a cell camera back there, got decent cell service, then you don't have to go back there very much. So.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Do you find most years are you kind of targeting like certain buck or certain bucks or are you
Oh,
looking at
absolutely.
yeah.
Yeah, that's actually what my passion is chasing individual bucks. And I've been doing that for I don't know, a long time, but probably going on 20 years now.
Okay.
Yeah, that's really what lights my fire there. So there's nothing like picking out an individual buck and learning him, and because they all have different personalities. And that all bucks have tendencies that they generally all do, but at the same time, you've got to inject their personality in there, and it's just really neat to learn an animal and hunt him and hopefully eventually kill him. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm at the point where, this season, if it comes out and it's legal, it's probably going down. But
Absolutely.
that's
Yeah.
pretty cool though to get, the kind of the story behind and, potential of multiple seasons of seeing one buck and learning him and chasing him.
Yeah, and I can tell you as a warning, it's addictive, but it also can take some of the fun out of it. I know, in one way it adds fun to it, and then in another sense it takes some of it out because it can be very frustrating
Yeah.
hunting individual animals. So.
I'm sure I was talking to a guy who's up in North Georgia last week and we were laughing about trying to name bucks. Have you ever named one or do you always name them?
Oh yeah, I hadn't named one in several, well, a few years, basically because I hadn't, I guess, found one that I felt was name worthy or special enough in the past, few years. But yeah, I used to do that all the time. But now this year, I've got a buck that I want to hunt, and I've named him Captain, and he is the. Just a heck of a good deer from my area, and but I named him, he's a pretty special deer, so
That's awesome. Good luck.
yeah, I appreciate it. Definitely.
Is there one over the years, whether you killed it or not, that that you can really think back and remember, certain encounters with, or hunting hard or whatever?
Yeah, you talking that I've killed or that I have not killed? Because there's a lot more that I've not killed than I've killed that I've
Right.
chased, obviously. But yeah, actually, probably one of the very first deer I ever named, which is also the biggest buck I've ever killed. I named him Big Boy for obvious reasons, but luckily I killed him the same year that I found him and actually killed him the fifth. Time that I hunted him, so that doesn't happen too often, but every now and then it does.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome. No, I was asking either way, one you've killed or even one you haven't, just that was memorable. That's
Yeah.
awesome, though. What did you hunt him? You said you killed him the fifth time you hunted him.
Yes.
Were you in different like stand locations each time, or the same every time? How did that work?
That was the third tree that I had been up. Hunting that deer, and actually the stand that I killed him out of, it was the second time that I was up that tree.
Okay,
Yeah.
that's cool. And I know we were joking about the old, the homemade stands and saddles are the rage these days. What do you end up using? Like a lock-on or a climber or?
I'm a saddle hunter. I also
Okay.
use walk-on stands, and I use climbing stands too, so it just depends. Now, none of my equipment is any of the big bulky stuff. Like my climbing stand is a long Wolf of Saw, which actually I don't have it any longer. But that's a very nice little compact stand, and then obviously hang-on stands. So, all of them are highly mobile.
Right. Okay, gotcha. Oh, that's cool. Now I know you've killed some pretty good deer. And you mentioned the particular one, Captain, that you're looking for this time
Yep.
around. I guess other than killing Captain, what kind of goals are you working toward with hunting, whether this season or just moving forward? Is there anything that, is kind of on your list?
Well, yeah, here in Virginia, I have never killed a buck over, well, the biggest deer I've ever killed here in Virginia has been 146, and I've killed a few 140s here in Virginia, so 150 inch deer or bigger is really my goal. And
Okay.
in the past 3 seasons, I've had a deer of that caliber to hunt. And so, well, one of them got killed last year. And then this one this year, he's right around the 150 inch mark, is just an 8 point. So,
Oh, wow.
and really, yeah, he's a giant beast. And, but, to me, 140 inch class deer, and don't get me wrong, I'm not big on inches, but it is a good way to kind of gauge, what is average and above average and exceptional, for the area that you're hunting. So, in
Right.
my area, 140 inch deer is comparable to killing a 170 in the Midwest, so.
Right.
So that kind of gives you an idea of what 150 class deer is, for this parts. It's very, very few of those animals. Matter of fact, up until the past 2 or 3 seasons, I had never seen nor had a picture on a game camera of a buck of that caliber up until, the past couple of years.
Wow. Yeah, that would be awesome. 150, that would be fantastic.
Yep.
I I'm not really familiar enough to, like, you know, look at, you know, trail camera pictures or whatever and tell what, you know, the bucks I see on camera would score.
Yeah.
And like I said earlier, not that I at this point really care.
Right. You know?
but you know, it's still something to measure, and it's still, like, when I look at trail cam pictures, I still gravitate toward the big ones. I mean, that's just
absolutely
natural.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not, on the one hand, I'm not ashamed to kill whatever's legal at this point, you know, and I'm also not ashamed to say that, yeah, the if two bucks walk out, I'll shoot the bigger one, you know.
That's exactly right. And whenever all those small ones are just building you up to the encounter with the big one, and you'll be thankful for the small ones that you've killed whenever you do get that opportunity. So,
yes, sir, absolutely. But I, you know, I just look at the pictures, I'm like, you know, hey, it's outside the ears and it looks pretty tall. I mean, that looks big to me, you know.
Oh, sure, absolutely. And it's, you know, it's different for everywhere that you want to hunt too, you know. A buck, you know, in most of the areas that I hunt, you know, once I go out of state, you know, is you don't even consider them, you know. So,
yeah, absolutely. Where do you have somewhere where you usually go out of state, or?
I've hunted Ohio just a little bit. That's in extreme southern Ohio. I've not hunted up into Ohio, really. But actually, the areas that I've hunted in Ohio is considered the edge of the Appalachian Mountains. So, you know, it's a little bit mountainous in southern Ohio. It's not really what you would typically think of Ohio, you know, really flat. So
right.
I feel pretty at home there.
I gotcha. And is that where you've killed bigger than what you've killed there in Virginia?
Yes.
Over there in Ohio?
Yeah, everywhere I've hunted outside of Virginia, I've killed bigger deer than I've ever killed here in Virginia. But once you get out of southwestern Virginia, it everything gets better. So in every way, the hunting's better, the bucks are bigger. So
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I was talking to a guy recently, and he's like, you need to plan a trip to the Midwest. Actually, two different guys told me that. And I'm like, man, I would love to, but right now, it sure is nice to, you know, hunt some of these Florida deer that are close by.
That's exactly right. And you get good at hunting those, and whenever you do decide to go to the Midwest, it will be a whole lot easier for you. Don't get me wrong, I don't want any of the Midwestern hunters think that I'm knocking on them, because I'm not, you know. A mature whitetail is hard to kill no matter where he lives.
Yeah.
But just the topography and the deer density and the density of the vegetation, you know, here in these mountains just compound the difficulty factor. So,
yeah, for sure. You know, one thing I was going to ask you about, I know I've heard you talk about doing some taxidermy.
Yes.
Now, that's not something you currently do, is it?
No. I mean, not professionally, you know. I'll do a deer on the side every now and then, but I don't do it for a living anymore. I'll do it for, you know, friends or myself. Matter of fact, the bucks that I killed in 2019, I mounted those, and I hadn't actually mounted any of my deer personally that I had killed except for those since probably early 2000s. Somebody,
oh, wow.
Yeah, I got away from taxidermy there for several years, and
I gotcha.
And other people done them for me. So,
yes, sir. Well, if I go up and visit my brother and shoot a buck, I'll stop by on my way home.
There you go. We'll take care of it for you.
No, but I was going to ask you about, like, you know, for me, like, you know, I'm obviously my big goal for the season is, like, kill a buck, you know? And so say I get that done. Is there any tips or pointers or anything you want to throw out there about, you know, caping out and preparing, you know, as somebody
yeah.
who's done taxidermy, what, you know, what would the taxidermist appreciate, and what would help me?
One of the biggest things that being a taxidermist that I've seen people do is cutting their cape too short. I would rather you bring me the whole cape, you know, that you've, you know, once you've skinned the deer out, than I would something too short, because you know, once it's cut too short, it's too late, you know. If you know, that would be the biggest thing. And of course, taking care of your cape, you know, if you kill a big buck and it's 70 degrees out, don't ride around with him in the bed of your truck for 2 or 3 days, you know, showing him off. You know, you want to get him skin out and in the refrigerator as soon as possible, because that hair will start slipping on him sometimes. And once that starts happening, then, you know, that cape is, for the most part, no longer good. So, you know, just take care of the cape, you know, make sure that you don't cut it off too short, and, you know, get it in the refrigerator or the freezer as possible.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty easy.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. What advice would you give to a new hunter? You know, it could be, I usually ask everybody this, so I've gotten everything from general, like, philosophy type stuff to a tactic, or some people have listed out, you know, some gear or something they never, you know, never go in the woods without or whatever. What kind of advice would you give?
Mostly just have fun and don't get too serious too fast, because if you do, you can, you know, get burnt out on it. And mostly because, you know, a lot of the new hunters and stuff, you know, they watch the Outdoor Channel and stuff, and they think that they're going to experience the same thing that they see on TV, and it's just not that way. You know, if you set your expectations too high, then you're probably not going to be a lifelong hunter. So, you know, just keep it simple, learn basic woodsmanship, and build from there, you know. So I don't have too high of expectations.
Awesome. Yeah, I appreciate that. If I could, I've got just a couple more questions popped in my head. Do you usually look at some maps, like, online before you go to an area? Is that something you put a lot into, or?
Yes, I do. Matter of fact, I do a lot of scouting, you know, like on my Onyx, on my phone, and back in the day before we ever had that, you know, I had hard copies of the areas that I was interested in. But, yeah, I sit on my phone all the time looking at topo maps of, you know, both the areas that I'm currently hunting and areas that I've drove by that's piqued my interest, or, you know, just looking at different mountain ranges, you know, looking for different things that might catch my eye. So, yeah, absolutely. I don't think I've ever went in anywhere completely blind, you know.
Right. Have you ever used Onyx or something to, like, ask somebody for permission to hunt their property, or for, like, public?
Okay. Yeah, you know, if it's a place that, especially if it's a place that borders, you know, maybe a national forest tract that I currently hunt, and, you know, there's a piece of private that comes up and butts up against it, you know, there's a couple things that I want to know. You know, first, is am I able to access, you know, through their property to get into this place? Maybe it might be easier access. And two, you know, is there somebody else hunting their piece of property and might have the same idea I have, you know, going through their property, getting into this piece of national forest. So,
right. Very cool. Yeah, I'm definitely interested in, you know, it's a little bit intimidating, but, you know, asking some people for permission or whatever.
Right.
I have a really small little piece of, family property. And, you know, I was thinking about, you know, trying to expand that with, you know, the neighbors for one.
For sure.
Awesome. And then, you know, other than that, just, you know, listening to different people and keeping an eye out for deer. And, you know, a lot of times I live in a pretty suburban area.
Right.
But it's interesting. It's crazy. If you get on, there's this app called Nextdoor. I don't know if you ever heard of it, but
no,
people just put on there all kind of stuff, you know, about the neighborhood, you know, we can sell stuff or whatever. let people know about a garage sale or anything really. But I was amazed how many people post pictures of deer in their backyard.
Oh, okay.
Like big bucks.
Like, okay. That'd be handy.
I was like, you know, hey, I need to see if we can get some permission over there.
There you go. Yeah.
No, that's like awesome.
The new strategy there.
Yeah. Have you ever watched the big guys who do that? Is the Seek One?
Absolutely. I was just getting ready to mention those guys. It's amazing what those guys kill in the outer limits of these cities, and I guess within the city limits too, you know.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's a real eye-opener.
I found them just going on YouTube. Like you said, that family property, it's like 6.5 acres, and I just typed into YouTube, you know, how to hunt small properties or how to hunt, you know, 6 acres or something like that.
Right.
And that's how I found them, and I was like, okay. It's very eye-opening.
Yeah, and their content is really high quality too.
Oh, yeah, the production level.
Yes.
Fantastic. That's awesome. I might try to film a little bit with my phone this year. Have you ever tried to film a hunt?
Yeah, I've successfully done that. It's not on YouTube. It's just, you know, and actually this was back, probably 2001 or so. But, you know, I think that's, it's, you know, pretty neat, you know, to have that interest. But hunting here in the mountains, oh, man, it's, you know, I carry enough gear as it is. And whenever I add a camera to the mix, and it just complicates things. So sometimes I'll take one with me and sometimes I won't. So,
yeah, I can imagine that would be a different situation.
Yes.
If I can get set up, I have a pretty short walk in at a couple of places I hunt. So, you know, it wouldn't really be that bad. But, yeah, you know, right. Miles back and mountains and everything else, I can see, you know.
Yeah, it's just extra pounds, gear.
A few extra, you know, some extra room in your backpack or whatever would be a big
deal. That's right. And also, you know, encounters are very rare, you know, in the places that I hunt. So, you know, adding a camera to the mix there is just compounding the difficulty. So I would hate to have an encounter with a buck that I've been hunting for 2 or 3 years and just to let me trying to get it on video, let that opportunity slip away. So
no doubt about that. If I have a choice between getting on video or getting the shot, I'm definitely for getting the video.
That's exactly right. That's my motto too, though.
That's pretty cool. Is there in the mountains there, is there a certain type of boots or shoes that you wear?
Anything that works for, you know, mountain type hunting, you know, like Kennetrek, Crispy, Chenez, there's several, you know, brands out there that work really good. Crispy is probably the most common.
Mm-hmm.
I've always used Danners in the past, but what I found with Danners, and I love their boots, but they, you know, really don't have the ankle support that some of these other boots have. Mm-hmm. And the boot that does have the an aggressive enough tread doesn't have good enough ankle support. So I've gotten away from Danner, and I'm currently using Chenez now, or Chenez. I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but.
Gotcha. Yep. I know what you're talking about, but I don't know either.
Yeah, but that's the style of boots that I use. And I always, you know, have a pair of non-insulated 200-gram Thinsulate and 400-gram Thinsulate that I use for the most part, you know, depending on the temperatures. And then I also use knee-high rubber boots too, you know, if it's areas that I'm not doing a lot of climbing or not going very deep, I'll use those style boots too. So,
okay, cool.
Yeah,
no, that's awesome. All right, I've got one more for you, and we'll shut it down. But what if you have your choice? If you're sitting, you know, setting up in a stand, what's like your ideal, you know, view? Do you like sitting like a bluff, or would you rather be, you know, in like a little opening somewhere and where it's real thick, or like a meadow, or, you know, if you could just have any view from your stand, what would you like?
Definitely thick cover. One of my favorite places where I've got a couple stands hung is in a secondary ridge off the north side of a west running ridge. And but there's a little saddle there, and it is just really, really thick all over that. And you just have, small openings within that. But that's my favorite kind of places to hunt. I don't have to see very far, I don't worry about how pretty a place is. I just want to hunt places that I know that, a big buck is going to feel comfortable traveling through.
So, right. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, awesome. I think that's one of the biggest mistakes that a lot of, especially new hunters make, is they pick places that are pretty and you'll kill deer in those type of places, but the chance of killing a mature buck in those type of places is, pretty slim. So,
all right. Awesome. Oh, good advice there for sure. Well, I appreciate you coming on this morning. And I think I could probably think up a few more questions if we ever get a chance to do it again.